This is Mulberry Christian Radio with our national news report. Data compiled by the Crime Prevention Research Center shows that armed civilians stop more mass shootings than police do. American Thinker pointed to the CPRC data last week, noting not only that concealed carriers stop more mass shootings than do police, but that concealed carriers do so with fewer mistakes. CPRC President John Lott Jr. observed that his group did a deep dive into active shooter scenarios between 2014 and 2023. And found not only do permit holders succeed in stopping active shooters at a higher rate, but law enforcement officers face significantly greater risks when intervening. Our research found police were nearly 6 times more likely to be killed and 17% more likely to be wounded than armed civilians. Lott explained, from 2014 to 2023, CPRC researchers found that armed civilians stopped 180 of 515 active shooter cases. Of the attacks in places where people were allowed to carry, we found that permit holders stopped 158 of 307 instances. In all those instances, an innocent bystander was shot only one time. On the other hand, in the 156 cases stopped by law enforcement, we found police accidentally shot the wrong person in 4 cases, killing 2 fellow officers twice and civilians twice. Lott summarized, these findings highlight a reality that is often ignored. Responsible gun owners save lives. Concealed handgun permit holders aren't reckless vigilantes, but they are law-abiding citizens who step up in moments of crisis when seconds matter and police are minutes away. In 2022, the Montgomery County, Maryland Board of Education approved several pro-LGBTQ books for pre-K, kindergarten, and early elementary children, and refused to allow parents to opt their children out of reading the books, even for religious reasons. Parents sued in the U.S. Supreme Court will hear the case this spring. Meanwhile, in Illinois, homeschool parents are protesting a bill that, if signed into law, could land them in jail. The legislation was voted out of committee in the Illinois House, despite 42,000 people signing witness slips in opposition. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s former presidential running mate, Nicole Shanahan, recently posted a spiritual journey and conversion to Christ and baptism. Her testimony is also an encouraging story about the power of prayer. And 13-year-old Devar J., or DJ Daniel, was an honored attendee at the President Trump's recent joint address to Congress, where he received a Secret Service badge. This week, Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders swore DJ in as an Arkansas state trooper. And Tesla cars and dealerships are being targeted for attacks, and Attorney General Pamela Bondi is calling the incidents domestic terrorism. Federal departments are created by Congress and limited by the Constitution. How does the Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, fit into the process, and are those actions exceeding constitutional authority? CBN News Chief Political Analyst David Brody examines those questions this week. And catastrophic Hurricane Helene hit 6 months ago, but many of the families who returned to their homes in western North Carolina are still living with post-flood devastation. This month, a number of college students from around the country skipped the usual spring break destination and traveled to Asheville to help. Farmer, Texas megachurch pastor Robert Marvis turned himself in to Oklahoma authorities. He was released after posting a $50,000 bond payment. Marvis has been indicted in Oklahoma on these five counts related to incidents that allegedly began in 1982. And students at Western Kentucky University have found a unique way to reach their fellow students with the gospel. Monday night and into the wee hours of Tuesday morning, nearly 70 students from three campus ministries chalked the entire Gospel of John, all 879 verses, over 2 miles of sidewalks. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has charged the midwife with committing illegal abortions. A.G. Paxton says Maria Rojas was running at least three illegal clinics in northwest Houston, and he charged her with two felonies. And more than 320 cases of measles have been reported nationwide, with 38 hospitalizations and 2 deaths across 16 states. On this week's edition of Healthy Living, CBN News senior medical correspondent Laurie Johnson talked to Don Green, author of Facing My Giants. Green's book teaches readers how to recognize autoimmune disease and get the best help. And heavyweight boxer and successful businessman George Foreman passed away at the age of 76. His family announced his death on social media. A devout preacher, a devoted husband, a loving father, and a proud grand and great-grandfather, he lived a life marked by unwavering faith, humility, and purpose. And film star Gal Gadot, who played Wonder Woman in the DC Extended Universal films, is an Israeli citizen, served 2 years in the Israeli Defense Forces, and her grandmother was a Holocaust survivor. And worship leader Chris Tomlin is the executive producer of a new film, The Last Supper, which recently debuted in theaters. Tomlin recently sat down for an extended interview with CBN News. And University of Colorado football coach, Deion Sanders continues to incorporate faith-based practices into his coaching. Recently, Coach Prime invited A-list Hollywood actor Denzel Washington to speak to his team during spring training. A substitute teacher in Jacksonville, Florida, is accused of encouraging students to violently gang up on a classmate. The suspect, identified as Jeannie White, who allegedly urged students to beat up another child, is also accused of assaulting the victim in the case. First Coast News reported. An image shows the suspect. The incident happened on February 12th at the YMCA Tiger Academy on Bagler Road. which serves pre-K through fifth grade students. Law enforcement records said an officer responded to the school about an alleged child abuse incident and learned that White was accused of inciting the students to target their classmate. The First Coast News article continued. The report said White had initially asked the student to join a small group, but when he refused, she became frustrated and asked the class, "Who in here can beat him up?" That's when JSO said four students raised their hands and White called on them to fight the victim while she watched. Then the student hit the victim multiple times on his head and body. Following the beating, White allegedly pushed the child, who hit his head on the desk. The substitute teacher called in two teachers for help, and police said she told them the children needed behavior intervention. However, White allegedly did not report the fight to them or say anything about the victim being hurt when he hit his head on the desk. The victim reportedly suffered a small laceration behind his ear and some bruises. One student told police that he would not have fought the victim, but the teacher told him to do it, the First Coast News article said. The suspect is said to have denied being involved in the fight, claiming she merely tried to help the victim up off the ground after the others allegedly targeted her, Action News Jax reported. In a statement, First Coast YMCA said the First Coast YMCA was made aware of an incident at Tiger Academy involving a student and a substitute teacher who has been properly vetted by both the First Coast YMCA and Duval County Public Schools. The safety and well-being of our scholars and staff have been and will always be our top priority. And as such, we investigated the matter immediately according to protocol. Upon completion of the internal investigation, we terminated the substitute teacher's employment. We immediately reported the incident to the Department of Children and Families, who are conducting an ongoing investigation in collaboration with the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. All further inquiries about the incident should be directed to them. An InfoWars journalist, Jamie White, was murdered just before midnight in Austin, Texas. InfoWars founder Alex Jones called White a one-of-a-kind who poured his devotion into anything he did. Shortly before midnight, Austin police officers responded to a shoot-stab hotshot call at an apartment complex in the 2300 block of Douglas Street. Responding officers found a male in the parking lot with obvious signs of trauma. KXAN NBC reported EMS crews transported the man to a local hospital, where he died a short time later from his wounds. Austin Detective Leah Ratliff told reporters that officers attempted to save the man's life, but he died at 12:19 a.m. on Monday. She said it was under what kind of injuries. It is unclear what kind of injuries caused his death. Police are investigating the death as the city's eighth homicide of the year. By Monday afternoon, InfoWars founder Alex Jones identified the slain man as his reporter, Jamie White. Jamie was a light we were blessed to experience as much as we did. Jones said while announcing the news, he's a one-of-a-kind who poured his devotion into everything he did. Jones blamed White's murder in part on the policies of Soros Austin, Texas, D.A. Jose Garza. "We pledge that James' tragic death will not be in vain, and those responsible for this senseless violence will be brought to justice, Jones stated. He pledged to carry on Jamie's important work. Media quote more than Jones' broadcast announcing White's death. We sent some people over this morning when he didn't answer the phone because he's always here early. Loves to work. Loves to fight tyranny. Loves to promote freedom. And when they got to the apartment complex, there was yellow tape everywhere. Blood all over the parking lot. Jones continued, I'm going to talk about in a moment who I hold responsible for this and who is responsible for this and who are accomplices to Jamie and his many other murder before describing Gaza, whose campaign for district attorney was funded by billionaire Democrat donor George Soros, as even worse than Alvin Bragg and probably the worst in the country. Jones said police told InfoWars that they have some suspects. I'm going to leave it at that, Jones said. They didn't want to tell us whether it was a stabbing or a shooting. I can just tell you that from the amount of blood, I heard it was serious. There were scrubbing his blood off the ground when our folks got there. As a reporter for InfoWars, White covered politics, entertainment, and current affairs, Times News reported. White covered many politically charged topics for InfoWars, including international affairs and high-profile controversies. One of his notable articles reported on Romania's ban on presidential candidate Salin Georgios, who has led to widespread protests. Another focused on Glenn Beck's claim that the Epstein client list would be released if Kash Patel became FBI director. Beyond InfoWars, White's work also appeared on platforms like Scribd and Transcend. A fugitive illegal alien was captured by Immigration and Customs Enforcement and will now face vehicular homicide charges in Tarrant County, Texas, for allegedly killing 30-year-old Daniel Cruces, the father of a 7-year-old girl, last year. This week's ICE agents announced the arrest of 24-year-old Joel Sock Tambriz of Guatemala, who has been deported from the United States in 2018. He was taken into custody in Victoria, Texas, and now faces vehicular homicide charges in Tarrant County. On June 9, 2024, according to police, he was driving in Arlington, Texas, when he allegedly hit and killed Daniel Cruces, who was walking across the street's crosswalk. Police said Sack Tambriz fled the scene, leaving Cruces dead on the streets. Police have been searching for him since the fatal hit and run after he allegedly abandoned the Honda Civic he was driving at the time. The vehicle, police said, was filled with open alcohol containers. He first crossed the U.S.-Mexican border on October 2018 and was apprehended by border agents before being put into ICE custody and deported to Guatemala on October 25, 2018. Sometime after that deportation, he crossed the border again as a so-called gotaway, as he was undetected by Border Patrol agents. ICE agents said they worked with the U.S. Marshals Service, the Victoria Police Department, and the Victoria County Sheriff's Office to arrest him, and also ended up arresting 19-year-old illegal alien felon Gustav Francisco Sohom Sack of Guatemala, 18-year-old illegal alien Pascual Alexander Gachara Tapez of Guatemala and 29-year-old illegal alien Wanfa Zhang from China. The three illegal aliens were arrested for evading arrest and assaulting an officer. Zhang was additionally charged with obstructing the apprehension of a felon. And Charleston officials have released 9/11 calls, released a 9/11 call from witnesses who were present when a Tesla charging station was set on fire by an arsonist who also accidentally set himself ablaze. According to one call, a woman was charging her Tesla EV at the station when the fire bomber knocked on her window, indicating he might have had more serious crimes in mind. Live 5 News reports that the North Charleston Police Department continues to investigate an arson attack on a Tesla charging station by Molotov cocktail. The incident has prompted the involvement of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives due to the serious nature of the crime. Now officials have released 9/11 calls related to the incident that revealed that a Tesla owner narrowly avoided a potential violent crime aimed at her, all because she drives a car produced by Elon Musk. Fortunately, no injuries were reported in connection with the incident. However, officials discovered that the arsonist had spray-painted the message, "F. Trump, long live Ukraine," on the ground next to the charges, indicating a political motive behind the attack. The North Charleston Police Department and the ATF are currently investigating the incident, gathering evidence and reviewing surveillance footage to identify the suspect. They are urging anyone with information related to the case to come forward and assist in the investigation. And gunmen have targeted a Tesla dealership in Tigard, Oregon, repeatedly this week, with the latest incident occurring on Thursday. Although the perpetrators fired more than a dozen shots in the latest incident, no one was hurt. The Associated Press reports that in the early hours of Thursday morning, the Tigard Police Department reported that more than a dozen shots were fired at a Tesla dealership in Portland suburb, causing extensive damage to vehicles and showroom windows. The incident marks the second shooting at the location within a week, with a similar attack occurring on March 6. Fortunately, no one was reported in either incident. The recent attacks on the Oregon dealership are part of a larger trend of violence and vandalism targeting Tesla across the United States and beyond. In addition to the shooting in Tigard, a Tesla dealership in Linwood, a suburb of Seattle, reported that 6 Cybertrucks were vandalized over the weekend. The vehicles were spray-painted with swastikas and profanity directed at CEO Elon Musk. Breitbart News recently reported that a marked Trump hater in South Carolina targeted a Tesla charging station with firebombs, accidentally setting himself ablaze in the process. Despite the ongoing protests and vandalism, President Donald Trump has expressed his support for Elon Musk and Tesla. On Tuesday, the president announced that they would be purchasing a new Tesla to demonstrate his backing of the company as it grapples with declining sales and stock prices. And Representative Keith Self, a Republican of Texas, said he has received death threats after accurately calling Representative Sarah McBride, a Democrat of Delaware, a male pretending to be a female, Mr., during a House hearing. The Republican congressman announced Friday that due to death threats and threats of violence against his office, he has decided to cancel a meet-up event for our constituents. In life, as in war, there are times to engage and times to disengage. In recent days, the rhetoric from the left has turned vile and hateful. My office received multiple death threats and threats of violence, several of which are currently being investigated by authorities, Self said in a post to X. Rather than place constituents, their families, and their property in harm's way, I've decided to err on the side of caution and postpone Saturday's coffee with Keith in Greenville, Texas. I look forward to re-engaging with constituents again very soon. God bless, Keith said. He continued. During a House Foreign Affairs Subcommittee on Europe Subcommittee hearings, self-recognized McBride, who was elected as the first transgender-identifying member of Congress in November 2024 as Mr. McBride. After doing so, Democratic Representative Bill Keating, a Democrat of Massachusetts, had a meltdown over self-supposed misgendering of McBride. The hearing was ultimately adjourned, with Keating yelling and pounding his fist, while McBride remained silent. I will now recognize the representative from Delaware, Mr. McBride, Self said during the hearing, which was titled Arms Control, International Security, and U.S. Assistance to Europe, Review and Reforms for the State Department. Can you repeat your introduction, please? Keating replied. We've set the standard on the floor of the House, Self answered. What is that standard? Would you repeat what you just said when you introduced a duly elected representative from the USA? Please, Keating said. I will, the representative from Delaware, Mr. McBride, Self doubled down on his introduction. Mr. Chairman, have you no decency? I've come to know you, but this is not decent, Keating continued, becoming irate. We will continue this hearing, Self began to say. You will not continue with me unless you introduce a duly elected representative the right way, Keating explained. This hearing is adjourned, Self ordered in response. Following the exchange, Self posted a statement to X, tripling down on his commitment to biological reality. It is the policy of the United States to recognize two sexes, male and female, Self said. Indeed, President Donald Trump issued an executive order on the first day of his second term called Defending Women from Gender Ideology, Extremism, and Restoring Biological Truth to the Federal Government. That are states that it is the policy of the United States to recognize two sexes, male and female, and that these sexes are not changeable and are grounded in fundamental and incontrovertible reality. Homeland Security Secretary Christine Noem said Friday that DHS has identified two criminal leakers within its ranks and referred them to the Department of Justice for felony prosecution. Noem made the announcement in a video saying two people have been telling individuals about our operations and putting law enforcement lives in jeopardy. One leak reportedly allowed alleged members of Venezuelan prison gang Trindade Agua to evade capture by ICE agents in a war Colorado last month. Another immigration operation was reportedly compromised in Southern California in late February. At least 20 U.S. states have passed legislation to permanently adopt daylight savings time, but federal law prevents them from making the switch without congressional approval. Arizona and Hawaii are the only states that have stayed on standard time year-round. Although the Sunshine Protection Act has been introduced multiple times in Congress since 2018 to allow permanent daylight savings time, it is yet to pass. And this concludes our weekly national news report brought to you by Mulberry Christian Radio. Till next time, have a blessed week.